It is an honor to be here. I thank you, Pastor John, for this opportunity. I had not had the honor to meet Miss Terry until this morning. This is my wife, girlfriend, best friend for 61 years. I met her March the 10th, 1963, and stalked her, she said, stared at her all doing church. And then after church, I squealed tires and went out of the parking lot. I knew that would impress her. And just a little bit under the underpass, everybody keeps hitting on Heard Avenue and Olive Road in Augusta, she came around me in a 57 Chevrolet. And I ran her off the road, and there was a drugstore there. I didn't know that she knew my sister. She was my sister's babysitter. And we got a cherry Coke. The straw wrapper says Sweetheart Straw. And I folded that straw wrapper up, put it in my pocket. And we still have it today. And that was on March the 10th of 63. On the 12th, we started going steady. On the 21st, we got engaged. She had just turned 17, and I was still 16. And then we got married about a year later. So we've been married 61 years. Pastor John, I like your comments about that cord of blue. And I couldn't help but think about the woman that had the issue of blood. And when she had already heard of Jesus, but when she saw him and undoubtedly must have had a ribbon of blue or a cord of blue on the hem of his garment, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And so I pray that as we take communion and we're reminded of the good news, the gospel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, I pray that others, when they see us, that they can be reminded of the Jesus that we love. Amen. I like your building. I love this place. It's beautiful out here. This is country. And I love this. My dad was a preacher, and I was brought up in Swainsboro, Georgia. My dad pastored out by McKinney's Pond at Hines Baptist on the second and fourth Sunday, and then he pastored Blundell over on Highway 1. And so we were brought up in middle Georgia. He had five children, and my two sisters and my two brothers and my two sisters married preachers. And my older brother's 86, and he pastors Terrytown Baptist Church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then teaches high school English in Vidalia Monday through Friday. And so he's an example for us. He's already 86. My twin brother, 8 minutes older than I will be with him next Sunday. He pastors up outside of Helen, Georgia, suffering for the Lord up in the mountains. Amen. And then we all had a son born in 1965, and four of them are pastors, and three of their offsprings are pastors, and we're just about to ordain a five generation of my great grandsons going into the ministry. So we don't take that for granted. God is good. Amen. And I told my wife, I had not had the privilege of knowing Pastor John very long. Just met him just a few days back, a few days ago. And I told my wife when I got home, she said, well, what do you think about the preacher? I said, he's all right. So let's take our Bible. No. I said, sweetheart, I have been in the ministry 57 years, and I have traveled, her and I, we just got back from California and just got back from Alaska, and we go up and down the East Coast, and we're somewhere different every Sunday. And I said, in my 57 years of pastoring, I have never just sat down for a breakfast and had such a knowledge of this dear brother's spirit. I tell you, folks, he is a blessing. Amen. And loves the Lord and just has a heart for sinners, for folks to be saved. And you, Brother John, you blessed me the other day. And my wife my wife said, "Well, you'd stop bragging on him now, Ron." Because I brought it back up two or three other times. Take your Bibles. Joyce and I will sing tonight. And I play all musical instruments, but I just recently learned to play the piano a few years ago. My twin brother is an excellent pianist. But we'll sing tonight if it's okay. And let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll start reading in the 16th verse. I'm going to preach verse number 23. But I want to start in the 16th verse because I love these verses. In fact, I pastored in Thompson, Georgia for 23 years. And on Sunday night, we used to sing psalms. We'd sing Bible verses. We'd just open the Bible. And this is one of the songs we used to sing almost every Sunday night, was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'd sing verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." And then we'd sing verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." And then verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And we'd sing verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit." And then we'd sing verse 20, "Despise not prophesying." And we'd sing verse 21, "Prove all things." And then verse 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil, for this is the will of God." But I want to preach from verse 22. "And the very God of peace." Well, there's no peace without Him, is there? Amen. How often I pray, and you probably pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How often I pray, but we also know that we need to add to that prayer that individually they'll come to know Jesus. It's because there's no peace without knowing the Lord. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Probably, in my thoughts, in my mind, my spirit, probably one of the greatest truths that is in the Bible. You know, look, there are three different passages of Scripture that was like a key that unlocked the Scriptures for me. And one of those is found in all the way from Romans all the way through 1 and 2 Thessalonians, grace and peace. And then when you get to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, he adds grace, mercy, and peace. When I got those things settled in my mind, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, I began to understand Scripture. When I got 1 Corinthians 13:13 in my spirit, "And now abideth" what? "Faith, hope, and love." And when I got that settled in my spirit, when I understood grace, mercy, and peace, when I understood faith, hope, and love, and when I understood spirit, soul, and body. You know, there's a verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 1, verse 10, where Paul talks about we have been delivered, and then he says, we're being delivered. And then the Scripture, the next sentence says, "And we will yet be delivered." I would get confused on that passage of Scripture like I would sanctification. I would read Scripture and had pastor friends of mine that said, "You need to be sanctified." And then I had other pastor friends of mine that said, "You've already been sanctified." And then I had others that said, "Even when you get sanctified, you will yet one day be sanctified." And I used to get all that scrambled in my brain. Am I sanctified? Am I being sanctified? Will I yet be sanctified? Have I been delivered? Am I being delivered? Will I yet be delivered? And when I got this verse in my spirit, and I pray for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. If you're saved today and you know Jesus, your spirit is sanctified. If you will stay in the Word of God and study, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then your mind, your soulish part, is being sanctified. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 says, all creation groans waiting for the redemption of our body. And one day, my spirit is sanctified. My soulish part is being sanctified by the washing of the Word. But one day, my body will be sanctified. Glory to God. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. Praise God. I will be sanctified. I will have a glorified body. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, I think it's about the third verse, when the Bible says that God created vegetables and plants. And then when you get down to about the sixth verse, the beginning of the verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and God created animals. And then when you get down to about the 26th verse, he says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And so a plant just doesn't have a spirit, soul, and body. A plant just has a body. And it's just a plant. Now, I know there are people that talk to plants. My mother-in-law used to talk to plants, but I couldn't help her in that area. But she would talk to plants, and she believed, my mother did also. And my mother believed that plants grew better because she would sing to them. And she'd talk to them. But the truth is, a plant just has a body. That's all it has. An animal has two parts. An animal has a body and a soulish part, or a mind. You know, we used to, I bought my wife a little Maltese puppy. We've had two or three down through the years. And I came home one day, and she was teaching that puppy. She had already taught the puppy how to roll over, and she taught the puppy how to sit. But I came home one day, and I said, Joyce, what are you doing? And she said, I'm teaching daily. I'm teaching this puppy how to dance. I said, baby, I pastor a Baptist church. And I said, the word get out that our dog is dancing. I said, boy, they'll run me off from this place. But she finally taught the dog how to dance. And I had to keep her away from church. But not her, but the dog. And so it's amazing what you can teach a dog. You know, it's just amazing how attached you can get, and how they'll stay and sit but they only have two parts. A plant just has one part, and an animal has two parts. But you and I are created in the image and the likeness of God, and we are a triune creation. So when God would come down in the cool of the day, the Bible says that we read scripture where he fellowshipped and communed with Adam and Eve. Now, when I first started preaching down in Folkestone, Georgia, at our first church, that's where our baby died while we were there. And when I was pastoring in Folkestone, Georgia, I used to love to preach about God coming down in the cool of the day and fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. And in my mind, and back then I used to throw my coat over the choir loft and sweat pouring off my face and drink a bucket of water, run up and down the aisles. And I can remember running up and down that aisle, waving my arms, holding hands. And I said, Adam and Eve, praise God. Glory! They fellowship with God in the cool of the day. And Adam would hold one hand and Eve would hold the other. And they'd swing their arms and they fellowship with God. Well, I still have a little bit of in my spirit that perhaps God came down in the middle of the evening of the day and fellowship. But I do know this scripturally, that Adam and Eve, the plants only had a body. The animals had a two-part, a body and a soulish part. But Adam and Eve had a spirit, soul, and body. And their spirit was alive. And when they fellowship with God, I do know scripturally that they fellowship with him in the spirit, a way that all creation could not fellowship. But then one day God must have come down into the Garden of Eden, and he said these words, Adam, where art thou? Because Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree that they were told not to eat of. Romans chapter 5 says that because one man sinned, sin entered into the world. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And so when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, physically, they didn't fall over dead. But their spirit died immediately. There was no more life in their spirit, leaving them in the same position that only animals are in. You ever seen folks down through the years, or you heard your older folks say, those people just moved in over there, they act like a bunch of animals? Well, there's a possibility they don't know Jesus. There's a possibility they don't have life in their spirit. And because if you don't have life in your spirit, then your spirit is dead, and you have no other choice but to just live like, look like, smell like, walk like, talk like an animal. But when you're quickened together, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the second was a quickening spirit. I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 that says we've been quickened together with him. And so when you and I get saved, because our spirit is dead, because our spirit has no life in it, then we cannot commune with God. We cannot fellowship with God in the spirit. But when we embrace the gospel, when we embrace the good news, when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Savior, what actually takes place? Well, if we just walk a church aisle, one thing takes place, we get to the altar. If we shake the preacher's hand, one thing takes place is we get a good grip, a good handshake. But what actually takes place when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? He quickens our spirit. He puts life into our spirit. And now, because one man sinned, sin entered into the world, because one man paid the penalty and the payment for sin, when we receive Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says we're placed into the body of Christ, and Christ is in us. In fact, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when we embrace the gospel, when we believe the gospel, and so I'm often asked, well, how do you embrace the gospel? Well, you know, we ask, folks have all kind of thoughts on how to get to Jesus. We all agree that the only way to the Father is through the Son. And we all agree that you got to have Jesus to be saved, that Christ in you is the only hope, and that we need Christ. We need to be, whether you call it, I need to be born again, or whether you call it, I need to receive the new birth. The Apostle Paul talked about becoming a new creation in Christ. Whether you call it, I got saved. Well, when you receive Jesus, you get life in your spirit. And so my thoughts on this is, I think about something that Jesus said over in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 12 and verse 34, when Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he said also in that same chapter, he said that by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. In fact, we find that over in the book of Proverbs. By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. So Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so how do we get to that place? How do we get something supernatural to take place in us so that we can actually have life put in our spirit? We can be saved. We receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it says that the gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. So that is the good news. The gospel's concerning Jesus. Well, what was it in the in the Old Testament, when you get to Genesis to Malachi, if the gospel's concerning Jesus, what was it from Genesis to Malachi that you could say, well, here's some good news about Jesus? Well, it's over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Bible says, and I'm going to have a seed that's going to rise up and bruise the head of Satan. The serpent may bruise his heel, but so the good news in the Old Testament that they were looking toward was the fact that a seed is coming. Ever wonder why the Jews kept and continue to this day keep such a good record? You know, my mother gave me a Bible when I was 9 years old, and my twin brother and I, we were so proud of our Bible. And she said, now make sure you read it every night. Well, my twin brother, man, he jumped right in there. And he started reading it, and he read it, and he read it. And Mother would come by and knock on our bedroom door, and did y'all read your Bible? And my twin brother would go, I've read it, but Ronnie has it. And she'd say, Ronnie, read your Bible. And then she'd come back by there and knock on the door a few minutes later, and she'd say, have y'all prayed? And Donnie would say, I have, but Ronnie hasn't. And so I'd look at him and I'd frown, you know, and so I'd look at him and I'd pray out loud. Four corners on my bed, four angels at my head. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bless the bed that I lay on. And I'd cover up. Well, Mama would come back by and she'd say, have y'all prayed yet? And Donnie would say, Mama, I prayed, and Ronnie prayed that prayer again. Well, that always brought a spanking. And so while I was crying, I'd pray a better prayer. And so, but I couldn't understand the Bible. And so my dad said, Ronnie, he said, my dad was a preacher. He said, Ronnie, why don't you read your Bible? I said, Daddy, I don't understand it. I said, I try to read it, but he begat him, and he begat him, and he begat him, and he begat him. And by the time I get through all that begatting, I don't even know what it's talking about. And he said, well, read the New Testament. Well, I got over there in the New Testament, and there it was again. And he begat, and he was the father of, and he was the father of, and I couldn't make sense out of it. Now, when my Bible falls open to Genesis, and it says, and he begat him, he begat, I go, glory, praise God, because I know what that is. To the Jews that begin to keep the record, the promise was there's a seed coming. And so if it wasn't for that, he begat him, they're following that seed. The nation of Israel is still following that seed because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior yet. And so as an individual, Jews are receiving Jesus. And so you have to know that the gospel is, what was it? What was it they were looking toward? What was the good news? A seed's coming. Well, what was the good news in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You know, what was the good news concerning Jesus? Jesus said it on several occasions. Who do men say that I am? Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So the hope that they had was that the seed had come, and the seed was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, what is our hope today? We certainly thank God that the prophesied and promised seed has come. We certainly believe when we call upon Jesus to be the Lord of our life, we certainly believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But what is it that we hold on to our faith? I call it a confession of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 says, let's hold the confession of our faith. Well, what is our confession of faith? What comes up out of our spirit now that we have embraced the good news? You remember Paul Harvey? Years ago, Paul Harvey was on the radio, and he would say, and he'd start telling a story, and then just before the advertisement, he would stop, and then there'd be an advertisement, and you had to sit in the car with half door open and about to switch it off, but you wanted to hear the rest of the story. And so what is the rest of the story? Well, the rest of the story, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, he said, I didn't go to Jerusalem to see what they were preaching. He said, because he knew what they were preaching. They were preaching that a seed had been prophesied and the seed had come and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Paul was caught up into the third heaven and he was given 18 mysteries that are recorded from Romans to Philemon. 18 mysteries that when you start going through the scriptures, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of iniquity. Wow. Well, when you start reading all those mysteries, all of a sudden you realize from Romans all the way to Philemon, there are 18 of those mysteries. And one of those is the mystery of the gospel. And the mystery of the gospel, Paul really makes it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. When he says, now the gospel I preach, he gives, here's the rest of the story. He not only believed that a seed was prophesied, he not only believed that the seed had come and he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, now, according to the scriptures, Jesus died. And according to the scriptures, he was buried. And according to the scriptures, he rose again. So today, what is down inside of us? The truth that the seed was prophesied. The truth that the seed is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The truth that the seed, Jesus, died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, when we are saved, when we receive Jesus, our spirit is quickened together with Christ. We're made alive in Jesus Christ. We have salvation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's one of the mysteries. And Jesus is on the inside of us. I know that you know this. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, Romans 5, 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody had to pay the sin debt. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That death is separated from life, separated from God. And so, our confession of faith is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Hebrews says, let's hold that confession of our faith. So I'm thankful today that I understand and you understand that we are a triune creation. My spirit was sanctified and delivered. Ephesians 4:30 says it's sealed, sanctified, praise God, delivered. That's my spirit. My soulish part, my mind, I take it to the Word every day of my life. I read a Proverbs every morning. This morning I read Proverbs chapter 20. And it said, the strength of a young man, or the glory of a young man, is his strength. But the glory of an old man is his gray hair. And I had verse 29 of the 20th chapter. But I read a Proverbs every morning. And then I read other scriptures throughout the week. Because I know this, that as I Romans chapter 12, be not conformed, verse 1, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I renew my soulish part by staying in the Word of God. And then, like all creation, in Romans 8:22, I'm groaning, waiting for the redemption of my body. Yesterday, I walked around with a cane all day. My left knee was swollen. I hurt my knee years ago on a football field. And as I get older, You know, and it doesn't help. I was preaching at a church in Augusta back a few months ago. It doesn't help. There are 6 steps up to the platform. It sits up there. And when I got through preaching, I went to pick up my bottle of water, and I took my Bible, and when I turned, I didn't turn my feet. I just turned my body, and I missed the first step. And so that doesn't help. And so, I, like all of us, as we get older, we're an example of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. My body, one day, will be renewed, thank God. And I'll have a glorified body. And I long for that. But I take my body to the Lord every day. It's one thing I love about communion. I take my body to the Lord every day of my life. And just as I take my soulish part, my mind, to the Word of God, I bring my body before the Lord. And I go, Heavenly Father, if you'll just touch me one more time, if you'll bring healing to my body, if you'll touch me, and I take my pain. I was in a meeting Friday night, and I had picked up a stack of books Thursday, and I had about 4 books in one hand, and I was moving them, and I set these on my computer, and I picked up the other 4. They were too heavy, but I said, well, I'm going to put them over there anyway. And I reached over to set them on a stand there. And just about that far from the stand, I felt my shoulder go, and my whole arm just dropped. And I'd had rotator cuff surgery about maybe 12, 15 years ago. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I hurt all the rest of Thursday. I hurt all day Friday. And I went to a church, my son's church, where my son pastors. My grandson pastors in Evans, Georgia. My son pastors in North Augusta. We went to his church Friday night. And I was sitting there, and they were taking prayers to the Lord. And as they were praying, I said, Lord, would you touch my shoulder just one more time? Would you bring healing? And I felt something, just, you know, I don't go by feelings, but I went, thank you, Lord Jesus. And all that night, I could only raise it about like that. Every now and then, my son would go, everybody just raise your hands and praise the Lord. And I'd do like this, you know. And so after that prayer, I went, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so I'm thankful that we can take our bodies to Him every day. But most important of all, bring your spirit to the Lord. Now, everybody in here today looks saved. I'm telling you what. And by the way, I enjoy that piano playing. And I enjoy that singing. Wow. And you look saved. What, you know, why would you get up so early on Sunday to come to church if you didn't know the Lord? But maybe there's somebody that's not. And so today, would you give your spirit to the Lord? Let Him put new life in you. You want to be more than just a body. You know, we want to thank God that we got a mind, amen, a soulish part. But make sure there's life in your spirit. And the best way to get that life, I walked to church aisle when I was 9 years old. My mama made me. My dad was the preacher. We turned 9. We was about to turn 10. And my mama said, we was having a revival. And my mama said to my twin brother and I, y'all join the church tonight. It's revival. And this is when you join the church. And so there was about 5 of us boys. And we were standing out there on the porch. And I said, my mama said I had to join the church tonight. And one of my twin brothers said, we got to, Ronnie. We better do. Mama said we better. And those other 3 boys said, our mama said we got to join too. And they said, Ronnie, you go first. We'll sit back here. And when they give the invitation, him, you walk out first. And I was pretty sharp. I was pretty smart back then. And I said, you know, I got a better idea. Let's sit on the front row. Hello? That way we won't have to walk. I said, and on the front row, all we got to do is take 1 step and we'll be there. And so we all sat right there. And we were going to sing. They said, I told them, I said, we always sing, Oh, Why Not Tonight. I said, and when the church starts singing, Oh, Why Not tonight. I said, on tonight. Let's step out. Well, they sang Just As I Am. And so they looked at me and I looked at them. And so finally I just nodded and said, and I stepped out. And I looked back at them and they all stepped back. And the evangelist shook our hands and said, I know why y'all have come. Well, he knew more than we did. And so, you know, I don't know if I got saved that night. I don't know. But I know that after I met my wife and we dated for a year and then we got married, I quit going to church. And she begged me to go on Easter Sunday. And I said, no, I'm not an Easter lily. I didn't bloom the rest of the year. No need in blooming this Sunday. So I didn't go. And then a few months later, they had a revival and she had to pack a pew. It was her responsibility to fill up a whole pew. And she said, Ronnie, will you please go to the revival tonight? And she said, I got to pack a pew, fill up a pew. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. She said, well, Larry's going. Well, Larry was the husband of her best friend. And I said, I'm going. And she said, you are? I said, yes. I said, I want to see the ceiling fall in when Larry walks in. I said, because if anybody needs to be in church, it's Larry. And so, sure enough, we got there. And I kept looking over there and looking over there. There sat Larry. I looked at him and grinned and did like that and pointed at him. You boy, you where you're supposed to be. Well, that preacher, that evangelist was one of them. Hellfire and brimstone. He talked about them in and out, off and on, up and down, hit and miss, toe-tapping, barn dancing, short-wearing, cigarette-sucking, beer-sipping, ungodly, hypocrites. If you lie, you fry. If you don't turn, you burn. If you're not right, you left. You better get in or get out, get up or get down. It's heaven or hell. Boy, Larry ran down the aisle. Fell on the altar, and I'm standing over there looking at Larry, and I'm thinking, if anybody needed to get right, Larry does. And that preacher said, we're going to sing. The pastor stood up and said, we're going to sing one more song. One more verse. There's somebody else. And he said, we're going to sing, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Oh. When that congregation sang, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Boy, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit. I came down that aisle and I fell on my knees. And a deacon by the name of Marion Jay. I had the privilege four years later of ordaining him in the ministry. And he came and knelt by me. And he took the scriptures and walked me through the scriptures. And he said, Ron, I said, Marion, Mr. Marion, I don't know if I am saved, if I'm not saved, he said, don't even play that game. He said, let's just settle it. Just settle it. And so I did. I called upon the Lord. And I held a confession of faith that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. And I'm going to tell you, my life began changing that night. 2 years later, I was pastoring my first church and going to seminary in Jacksonville, Florida. And so today, if you're not sure if you have life in your spirit, settle it today. But there's some other need in your life. We'll be glad to pray with you. Y'all give an invitation to him? Okay. Let's the pastor will come forward. I'll be standing right over here. I'll be glad to pray with you if you have a need in your life. But let's just stand together and sing a verse. And as the pastor stands here also. And if we can pray with you in any area of your life, we'd be glad to do that. But let's think while you're standing. Just get in your spirit. Because see, we commune with Him in our spirit now. And so if you know Jesus, just in your spirit, just thank Him. Said, you know, I'm so thankful I've got life in my spirit. Amen. Father, thank You for Your Word today. And I believe it's the Word You put in my heart for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.